and welcome to my channel. I must say it's an honor for me to be talking to you here, as I've been following your work for years, and you were one of the critical, I should say, thinkers in what I call the autonomous thinking community, who woke me up to many things, especially on the globalists' practices. Instead of me introducing you to my Greek audience, I feel it's best that my guests starts, you know, talking a little about themselves. So please do me the honors.
Well, the honor is mine. Thank you so much for inviting me. And it's actually my first interview in Greek, as far as I know. I've done between 500 and 1,000 interviews over the last, I don't know how many years, but so it's an absolute honor to be speaking to a Greek audience at this time. I come from a background as a journalist and musician, but mostly as a journalist, and it was around 1980 when I started waking up to that something very strange was going on in the world, and it was through the JFK assassination that woke me up. And so over the years, I've devoted my life to find out what actually happened in many of the big top political assassinations, but this has also taken me into the whole world of false flag operations, which I used to know nothing about. But over the years, I've become to be considered one of the leading experts in the world of how these false flags work, who's doing it, how are they carried out, and for what reason. And it's actually at a point here now where my last name has become a verb, believe it or not. So demogarding is to find clues about upcoming events, because this is what I've specialized on since 2014, when I was informed by an insider behind some of these operations. He contacted me anonymously, and he said, "You're doing great. I really admire what you're doing, but you're missing out on the clues." And I didn't get what he was saying. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about, because I mean, I said, "Why on earth would they do such stupid things as leaving clues in the evidence?" And he said, no, it's by design. It's because the people, the forces that are carrying out these black operations or false flag operations, are so aware of and afraid of the law of karma. So the way they interpret this law, which is what you do comes back to you more or less, the way they interpret it, since they're up to so many horrific things, that if they tell us even in subtle ways what they're up to, and we do not react, then the bad karma is on our shoulders, not theirs. And in addition, if they manage to pull one of these operations off, even though they showed us, according to them, it even gains good karma on their part. So they have to put it out there. And to start with, I just couldn't believe that it was true. But then I started looking into it. And once I saw that this was actually the truth, what he was saying, I started learning to find these clues, and I've become quite good at it. And since 2014, I predicted up to 2 months ahead on international radio, 15 of these terror attacks on a global scale.
One of them being Copenhagen, I think.
One of them, I mean, there's so many of them. Like I said, there's 15 now. But what I found very, very interesting is that to start with, many, many years ago, I thought that so many of these events was totally separate, that they had nothing, no connecting dots. There was nothing, they had nothing in common. They were just totally individual things that happened. But over the years, I've come to a whole different understanding that it's actually what I believe is a small little mobile unit, which I call the Global Tour of Terror, that is traveling around in so many different NATO countries and carrying these things out. Like inside jobs, state-sponsored terrorism, there to get us, the normal person, to just to give up, bend over, and accept their solutions. Because So many of these operations are based on
problem.
An old Roman template called problem, reaction, solution,
Exactly.
exactly.
We're supposed to be analyzing the recent New Zealand massacre here, but after what we're seeing, we're seeing several events in Europe, like the supposed gas explosion in Madrid, the massive blast that rocked a Paris building with monster flames, according to what I've seen anyway, the shooting in Eindhoven in Holland, with one dead. What's your take on those?
I've been so busy with so many things. So some of these things I have not even heard of. The bomb in Madrid is new for me, and also the Paris one. If
well,
you're
it's
talking
a
about
gas explosion supposedly in Madrid, I don't know if it's a bomb.
I need to look into it before I say anything, because there's a lot of people using gas here in Madrid and Spain as well. So of course we have accidents like that, but sometimes you have to really look deep into the evidence to find
yes.
out what actually went down.
Exactly.
So before knowing anything more, I cannot say.
No,
but
I
if
just
you're
I just mentioned it because, you know, they're continuous, and, you know, Paris especially, you know, these monster flames. I couldn't believe what I saw, actually. That's why I asked you if you know anything about it.
I have not heard of that either. I need to look into that one. But what I can tell you is that these alleged attacks that are there, they're all of it is connected to the CIA's strategy. It's called the strategy of tension, which has been in place for since the mid-50s, and where the whole idea is to shake modern society with random acts of terror. It needs to be random, because they're not looking for specific targets. They're trying to keep us, the normal person, the population, in fear. That's the whole idea, to keep us fearful, so that we will accept their solutions, problem, reaction, solution.
One of their greatest tools, as far as I'm concerned, is fear, of course. And as you said, I think to Alfred Labremont Weber, they don't care what the location is. I mean, they don't want to frighten just the locals. They want to frighten the whole Western world, at least the Western world. So what they do is to bring fear to everyone.
That's the whole idea, fear to everyone. But what they do is they pinpoint specific targets where the emotional reaction is as big as possible. So they go emotionally. They go for women and children, high schools when it comes to shootings, daycare center when it comes to bombings, but also centers of communication, transport, like airports, bus stations, also vessels of transport like trains, ferries, airplanes.
Yeah.
All of it is part. There's also quite a lot of bridge sabotage at the moment, where they're blowing up
yes.
bridges.
Yes.
So I would humbly suggest, without scaring anybody, I hope, but I would strongly suggest that we should look at this almost like a full war going on, but it's a silent war. It's a very different one. There's no, you can't see the armies. You can't hear incoming bombs and grenades coming. It's fought out in a different way, but it's a full spectrum attack on us through the air, through the food, through vaccines, through,
of course,
you name it, and these force like terror attacks, which I tell you, after all of these years, I spent more than 35 years looking into these. I mean, more or less, I would say 99% of them have been state-sponsored terrorism, totally opposite what we've been told in media, where it's always been pointed out that there's a single individual, either crazy or mentally unstable, on drugs, or a fanatic. But every single time I go, and I try to go on location as much as possible, as soon as this happened, or before these things go down, I try to be on location So with the possibility of possibly stopping them. And I believe that I stopped at least two of them personally.
I believe you.
So you really have to look from a higher point of view, where you're not looking at separate countries, because at the moment we are the target of a global agenda. It's called the New World Order, and they're written very widely about it in their own books, also according to Agenda 21 and Agenda 30, how they plan to do this whole thing. And so when you look at these alleged attacks, and also how I've been able to predict them, is not just looking at one country, it's looking from a global scale. And I really think I'm onto something, otherwise I wouldn't have a track record like 15 accurately pointed out. So what I found is that, like, for instance, we had a mass shooting at the airport in Florida, the U.S. There I found the clues for the Melbourne car attack. That's Australia. Then in Australia, I found a clue for the upcoming attack at the Westminster Bridge near the Big Ben in London, England. Then in London, I found what I thought was the next attack was going to be in Denmark. But when we pointed it out and we had loads of people on location, I was just waiting, filming the whole thing, they, I believe, redirected and hit Sweden instead. Then in Sweden. So it goes like in zigzag, but it's all the time countries that are connected, and I shouldn't say all the time, most of the time it's NATO connected countries or countries that belongs to the Five Eyes spy liaison, which is something that was created right after the Second World War, at the same time when NATO was created and the CIA was created as well. And it's through NATO with this hidden setup of ghost armies in all different NATO countries. I don't know if you are aware of that in Greece, about what is called Gladio. Otherwise, it's very important to understand.
Yes, I'm very well aware of that. And I'll be informing the Greek internet community on it quite soon. I want to go back to you for a second. I want you to tell the Greeks what made you leave Sweden, because I know they don't.
I was actually born in Denmark, and I grew up in a family that was very much involved with the Danish resistance movement during the Second World War. And so my granddad was in jail for helping Jews to go to Sweden. My dad was involved in the resistance movement. And I believe that my father, it seems like I'm unraveling a lot about my own life at the moment. It seems like my father was recruited by the Allies during the later part of the Second World War, since he was quite high up in the resistance movement in Denmark, and was recruited to start and build up the Danish version of Gladio, which is this ghost army that you're going to tell your listeners more about.
Yeah, well, and that I didn't know. Interesting.
And so there's about 10 years where we don't know what he was doing from 45 to 55, which was before I was born and so on. But then when I grew up as a child, I have this sunshine version, you know, which was a beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And now it turns out that the reason why we left more or less overnight to Sweden, leaving everything behind, was because it seems like he was under some very serious threat because of this Gladio involvement. So it seems like now the reason why we moved to Sweden, which I thought was because my mother liked the Swedish forest, is now because the more I'm finding out, it seems like both my parents were involved with as agents for Gladio in Denmark. And
That I didn't know. That's interesting.
So I, without knowing it, because I've only started to find out these things about 6-8 months ago, which turns my whole life upside down, because it shows that I've been living a total lie or a double life without knowing it. And so it somehow I feel that I've been I've been brought up with this in my DNA without knowing it, and maybe this is why I'm so good at it. Because I mean, put me in a kitchen, I'm a disaster. But for some reason, I'm like Rain Man in this area, and my mind is just so switched onto these things.
Wow!
So,
wow!
But what you're talking about is that when the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme
was
shut down. Yeah. Or allegedly shut down in 1986. I went to Stockholm because I've been looking into the JFK, Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy for years. And I started seeing a very clear pattern of how these operations were carried out. And then I saw the exact same thing happening in Sweden, which was the first time where I got an indication that these things could actually be connected somehow, which they also turn out to be. So I spent I think almost 12 years looking into the Swedish this assassination in Sweden, yeah. Which is many people have not heard of it, but it's the biggest murder investigation in the history of the world, the most expensive one, and the biggest one. And it came to a point where I joined a group in Stockholm, mostly older guys, but very, very intelligent, skilled people that were just extremely worried about what had happened in Sweden. And so I joined them and I spent years interviewing them, learning as much as possible from all of them. And in the end, I mean, I started tracking down foreign agents in Sweden. I didn't even know it existed. It sounded like a cheap B movie to me. But I managed to track down assassins, agents, pinpointing more or less everyone that was part of this assassination, which is absolutely mind-blowing. The official story, total BS. The real truth, incredible. That is
enormous.
One of the biggest. It is enormous. It is has very little to do with Sweden and so much on a global scale.
Yep.
So, I've written a book.
And I think that was the beginning for Sweden's current situation, I think.
Yeah, I've written a book called Coup d'etat in slow motion. It's almost 1,000 pages about this assassination, but with all the connections into so many other cases globally, including the JFK assassination, John Lennon, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, their connections into the Iran-Contra scandal, also with Bush in the background and the pedophile network, the Freemasonic network. Everything is presented in this book.
The editors of this book ever decide to have it translated in Greek, I would love to be the one to translate it.
I tell you, I've never been able to publish this book other than myself. They tried to hijack it a few times. And I tell you, if you would ever be up for interested in translating it, it would be amazing.
I don't care about the money part, really. I care about informing people. I'm not, my current financial situation is not good, like everyone's situation in Greece is terrible. But I wouldn't do that for the money, definitely not. I would do it because I believe that is a great work that should be communicated to everyone.
I tell you, I got tears in my eyes now when you say, because the kindness that I meet around the world is just amazing. And there was this German lady who I only know her first name. She never told me. She's quite secretive. But she asked the exact same question about a year ago, if she could translate it to German, which she did. And once again, I have not been in a position where I can pay for it. She did all of that, and then she flew down on her own to just come down here, spend some days with us, and just go through some corrections And then she flew back. I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, I'll
but
give
this
you
is
the official invitation here and now. If you ever come to my neck of the woods, I'll be glad to show you around Greece a little bit. Plus, I would find a venue to hold a lot of people so you can give them a talk and I'll be the interpreter. Really. But besides
fantastic.
That, I would love to translate this, because I can imagine how much info you'll be giving through that book. Anyway.
It has been described as a bomb of truth.
As I said, I've
been
following you for years, so I know what you're all about. Now more Greeks will know what you're all about, and that makes me happy. Regarding the latest shooting in New Zealand, I want you to give me your take. Do you consider this a hoax? Because the video was a bit funny, although I haven't seen it myself, what I've heard. Do you think it's a false flag or somebody acted completely on his own? What is your take?
Okay, somebody completely on his own? Absolutely not. The official story is absolute, once again, bullshit. There's not a true word in it whatsoever. But what happened, I just want to quickly explain what a false flag is. A false flag operation is a psyop.
Exactly.
It was created four or 500 years ago, I believe, when naval empires like Great Britain and Holland and Spain was traveling around the world, just invading, conquering, plundering, whatever. And they had the military power to do it. But sometimes these invasions, when they were very unjust, could create problems with trade agreements and other neighboring countries and so on. So somebody came up with the idea, just saying, why don't we do it like this? Whatever target we have, whatever country we are aiming to destroy or whatever, instead of us going in there and becoming the bad boys and having this bad rap with us, why don't we put one of the enemy's flags on one of our own ships? Then we let our own ship attack ourselves. So instead of us being the attacker, we become the victim. And then that justifies us invasion, rape, and plunder. So it's the exact same thing they do, but instead of them just being the attacker, which we could oppose, they are the victim. And then we should then, oh my God, look at them, these poor people here. They have been attacked by this tiny little minute country or province or whatever, and now they just have to go in and totally destroy it. I mean, so the important thing to understand,
that's what
is
happened,
that
you know,
is
when
that the
towers,
the attacked one is actually the attacker.
Exactly.
I say it again, the attacked one is actually the attacker. So when it's false flag operations of this kind of character, you will see that the one stepping up behind and say, oh my God, we have to stand united in the face of terror, we will not bend down in fear, we will not let them get... These are the ones who actually carried it out.
No, they are the biggest terrorists of them all, aren't they?
They are, yeah. But they have this patsy, there's always need for a patsy that they can point towards and say, he was the one doing it. And this is always a lone crazy guy or a lone... a person with mental health issues or a fanatic. And the reason why they want him alone, because then by law there's no conspiracy and the court rooms can deal with it in a totally different way than if there were two or more people involved. So if this individual that is being blamed for it, if for instance they say that he went in and for no apparent reason he just shot all of these people or blew up this bomb or whatever, if he's crazy, then there's no need for a motive either. And if he's alone and suicided on location or killed by the police or whatever, then it's case closed right away. So this is why they want a lone crazy guy. And every single time you hear a lone crazy guy or a lone wolf
they
or an
want
extremist...
Him or they make him, There's MK Ultra practices, methods that can make a person, do these things.
That unfortunately, that is very true. My experience, though, is that it seems like they leave the shooting, killing, blowing up, whatever, to experts, professionals that are many times brought in from the Gladio network, this very secret ghost army network, or soldiers of fortunes, or private contractors like Blackwater or Kraft International, these type of organizations. And then the mind control individuals are used as the patsies, the one that will take the fall for it, the one that will be blamed, the one that will sit and look totally brain dead in court, heavily sedated, and just sit there and take the fall for it. Or with some individuals also, they prepare them so that they're almost like a tape recorder in the head where they do, where they admit to the crime. But you can hear after 20, 30 years, it would be the same story, almost like a tape recorder, on, off, on, off.
Yeah.
So I believe that the patsies, the mind control ones, are more used as patsies as real assassins. But I could be wrong there.
Yeah, what do you think of that, of the specific shooter in New Zealand? I mean, he made this big manifesto, like 72 pages. And what bothers me with this, if this was staged, as you say, which I do tend to believe myself, why would they spread out the manifesto that goes against their agenda?
The manifesto is there to point in a certain direction, and the manifesto, as far as I know, is more or less an identical copy of Anders Behring Breivik's manifesto. And his, the guy that allegedly did the mass shooting in Norway. But his manifesto was a more or less identical copy of the Unabombers. So they're just recycling the whole thing, So they do it, instead of having to do it over and over again with something new, they just change a little line here and there, and boom, here's a new manifesto for you.
Yep.
So I do not trust this one at all. But one of the giveaways is there's always a drill before these things go down. There's certain ingredients that are always standard there. The patsy, which is the lonely individual when it comes to Christchurch, there. Also, we have the drills, these security drills that are there for officially our protection, but actually what they're there for is when they go hand in hand with one of these planned false flag operations, they're there to get people on location, vehicles in location, to be able to shut off some streets where they're going to carry this out, get rid of normal people, and then bring in their own team of crisis actors, directors, photographers, makeup artists, catering, wardrobe facilities, controllers, and also military experts, plus marketing agents also that will come up with slogans and also with product placement, which they also sometimes use in these operations. So these drills are super, super important to become aware of. And I'm also using my official Facebook page, which is Light on Conspiracies. And then / Ole.Damegaard, you will come to my official Facebook page there. And what I'm doing is I'm getting information from all over the world about upcoming drills, so that as soon as I hear about something, I put it out there, and then I ask people to go on location and be there with cameras, friends, family, and so on, so that they can start filming these people when they start setting the whole thing up. Because like with all types of criminals, they can only function in the dark, in the shadows. And so if we aim the light at them, it sort of neutralizes them.
Don't they censor you in Facebook? Because after this attack especially, censorship is getting tighter and tighter. Freedom of speech is beginning to sound like something we will lose completely at some point in time.
Yeah, no, it's getting very brutal. And Facebook, YouTube, Google, also
Incredible.
payment systems like PayPal,
Yeah.
they're all of us, they're messing with people like myself
Terribly,
big time.
terribly. Yeah,
Yeah.
I can imagine. And
But so I just want to say about this drill that was there, because it was not just one drill, it was a massive big drill. And we're talking about a city, the city called Christchurch, very, very interesting name as well.
I
when
wanted
you
to point that out as well, Christchurch, the big earthquake,
Christchurch, and then you have,
and the big terror attack, you know.
Yeah, but also Muslims shot in a mosque in Christchurch. You got all of it in the headlines.
Yep.
The conflict between the big religions and so on. They love that to stir the emotions up. That's the whole thing. But Christchurch, they only got like 360,000 people, so it's a small city. So you would think, like, if they had security drills and these type of drills, who would be involved? Would it be the local fire brigade, the ambulance services, the police, and so on, the military maybe? But here, it was a global sharpshooters government training drill. I mean, what does that mean? A global sharpshooters government training drill. And the forces involved was the police special tactics group, STG, New Zealand's Defence Force, NZDF, the New Zealand Special Air Services, NZSAS, plus Australian and some Asian countries, including Hong Kong, their police services. I mean, what are the chances that they were there training for exactly these type of things when all the way up to this shooting started? And then they were there and were the ones who were already equipped with weapons and bulletproof vests and whatever, and were there to take care of this individual.
Yeah, what are the chances?
But also you will see that there's a whole lot of clues in there all over the place pointing towards this being not what we're being told. And
are they dead or aren't they?
This is there's such a tricky question to know, because even if you're on location, it is very hard to find out if there were real victims or not. I know it sounds totally absurd, because of course when things like this happen, there would be real victims. But so many times, and I've been on location to most places here in Europe where these attacks have gone down, I have a constant problem with finding out, you know, did these people really exist? Because so often it seems like many of these victims are phantom identities that are created by these intelligence agencies. They do that for breakfast. And because when you look at, for instance, if I want to find out what's on internet about myself, I have different ways of doing it. I can come up with like a stack of maybe 2,000-3,000 pages, A4 pages, you know, when from insurance companies and search stories, all of that. There's so much of us on the internet. But when it comes to these people, you will see they're on Facebook, but it goes back like 2, 3, 4 months. And then when you look at the different victims, very often they have the same friends. So that, and these accounts, also these Facebook friends, accounts that are friends with them, only also goes back like 2, 3, 4 months. So the whole thing is very hard to know.
Well, they couldn't care. I think the ones who staged this, they couldn't care if there are dead. I mean, you know, if there are some dead victims, that's okay for them, I think.
In some ways, it's better for them because the emotional impact gets better.
Exactly.
You know, bigger.
For example, in the attack in Barcelona, a lady who's a customer of my husband's, who has a dry cleaning business in Greece, a German lady was killed there, truly killed. You know what I mean? In that Barcelona attack.
And here we are again. This Barcelona attack, I can guarantee you there was an inside job. That I
Oh,
can guarantee you.
I'm sure.
And with these victims, it's so hard to know, because in one way, like I said, it's good for them because the emotional impact is greater.
Exactly.
But at the same time, the chance of the what is called blowback in these operations are bigger when you have real victims, because you have a problem, especially with mothers, that will not back down until they find out what happened to their child. And this doesn't matter if the mother is 85 or whatever, they become fearless. You women are just like unstoppable. If anyone messes with your kids, oh my God. And I think that they found out about this, the people carrying out these operations over the years, because all the way up to maybe around the Boston bombing, there were a lot of real victims. But then there was a shift there where I believe somebody in some kind of meeting were just saying, listen guys, we are having too much of a problem with these women, that they will not back down, they will not leave us alone. We tried to scare them off, we tried to kill a few of them, it doesn't matter, they still keep coming. So we need to regroup, and I think that is where they came up with this idea with a mobile unit that can be flown from country to country in what I've been pinpointing for a long time, in big C-130s, Hercules planes, and flown into different military air force bases or airstrips without flight towers. And then, so that there will be no writing anything about landing and takeoff. And then they're being transported there, the whole group in buses on location to where the drill is about to take place. And this drill is then used both for preparations, but also rehearsal. And it's during these days of rehearsal where they do a lot of the filming that is later shown as live footage. You have many of these high quality images, still photos, that is then being spread out in international media, high quality, super sharp. These photos have often been taken during the drill, as well as what I call the catwalk of death. There's always somebody walking around with a video camera, very blurry among the victims, but you will never really see any faces. You will just see people lying around or civilians helping them, or everybody with their back towards the camera.
The actual video the shooter made, many people consider it a hoax. You know.
I'm one of them. So it's a strange one, and it's also sometimes you have to be aware of that there's the possibility of an ambush for people like myself, you know, that we would jump to conclusion and then that would then backfire and destroy our credibility.
Yeah.
And with this one, it seems like there might have been real victims, that there might have been real people killed. I have people that worked at the hospital, people that know people that worked at the hospital, who said that they received injured people. Yeah. At the same time, the video is pointing in a totally different direction. The whole way of the shooting, the whole setup of the video is like a computer game. The very, very different, very strange. And
maybe to attract the young people's attention, I think.
This is also what I've been saying, because I think when you look at the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a whole lot of alleged shootings where there's been this superhero theme. Like you got the Joker shooting at the Las Vegas Strip,
not the mass
shooting.
Right.
He was in a Joker mask. You had the Batman shooting in Aurora. You had the Darth Vader attack in Sweden. You had the Robocop attack in Melbourne. You had there was a shooting outside Nashville in the church,
yep,
where
both the
shooter and the hero were wearing Superman T-shirts on the photos. And then you have a French Spider-Man and an English Spider-Man as well in London. So that, and I believe if there's the only way that this makes any sense is if it's to sort of pull in the younger generations that wouldn't even notice news otherwise. They wouldn't even look at the at the newscast
Exactly,
and so on. So
exactly.
I think maybe they're trying to sort of get these younger generations in under their umbrella by doing it like this, and especially this shooting, which was just like identical to a computer game, totally identical.
A friend of in my site, his name is Aquila, had a couple of questions for you. The first one is as follows. Podesta visited, he says, New Zealand 4 days before the shooting, and it is said that he went there to help organize certain details, even affirm that the MK Ultra triggers were going to be set. Do you think his visit there was coincidental, or is there something to all this?
Once again, very important not to jump to any conclusions, but here we have a major player who's been very close to Hillary Clinton, which is a major player in these horrific events. And then for him to be there and leave just before, because this is also a pattern that we keep seeing, that the people that are there preparing everything, then just a day or so before they leave, and it's called to get plausible deniability, that they can deny, no, my God, I was like 4,000 kilometers on the other way over there. How could I have anything to do with this?
Yep.
But Podesta is something I find highly suspicious. And the timing of his visit, this is also exactly when these drills were ongoing. And the way he described New Zealand before as a juicy, what was he called it, a juicy target, I would be very surprised if he was not involved. Let me put it like that.
And another question he says, which would also be my question. In the shooter's video recorded in the car, he seems to be a little out of it, mentioning seemingly relevant stuff like, remember lads, subscribe to PewDiePie. I mean, really, what did PewDiePie have to do with all this? What do you make of this? I mean, how would you explain a shooter going into such a delirium after killing 49 people, supposedly, and even talking about subscribers and YouTubers?
The only speculation I can say or give is, once again, to involve the younger generation, because I think so many other people, I asked my daughter, and I said, this PewDiePie, who is that? And she said, well, he's just the big one of the biggest YouTubers in the world. And so many people, many grown-up would have turned to their teenagers and asked that question, and then that would have then engaged the teenager, because it doesn't make any sense to me otherwise.
Right. Anyway, do you, maybe it's too early to ask you this, but did you find clues in that shooting for the next one?
Yeah, I have, but it's almost like they're pointing in different directions at the moment, because, I mean, they're getting more and more aware of also that people are getting better and better at figuring these things out.
Yeah.
And there are things pointing towards Stockholm. I'm sorry.
Do you want me to stop for a little bit? Hold on a sec. So
just remind me what we were talking about. John Podesta and...
Yeah, Podesta. And the clues you have found, if you have found any clues for the next attack.
Yeah. It's normally I only say these things if I'm totally sure that I'm onto something, but there are very strong indications pointed towards Stockholm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was on the gun. There was the name of an alleged stabber at the school in Trollhättan in Sweden, the Darth Vader attack, it's called in Sweden. His name was on the gun. But also on the gun barrel, there was the name of an alleged victim, a small girl called Ebba Åkerlund,
Yeah.
in Stockholm as well, but at the Stockholm truck attack. So these are two different attacks, and both of them connected on from the writing on the gun. At the same time, there's also been in the news in Sweden that the internet and the whole setup of the electronic surveillance systems and so in Sweden are in danger of attacks. And often when they spread this out, this type of information out in the news and mainstream media, is to prepare you subconsciously for an upcoming one. So I hope that I'm totally wrong and I'm really speculating here, but there is
well, if you have something more
towards
concrete
Sweden.
And more certain, you know where to find me and let me know, and I'll spread the word.
That is fantastic. Thank you for that.
I am really honored that you gave me the time and talked to me about all this. I'll be having to sign off right now because we've talked quite a lot and I want to subtitle this thing. But I want us, before you go, to promise me that we'll talk again soon.
That is for sure. Just anytime, just let me know. I'll be most happy to be on your show. And if it would be okay for you, if I can just mention my website.
Of course, please do. I wanted to tell you that. Please do.
I'm a one-man band with a small little group that is helping me, beautiful people like yourself who is offering to support me, because this is, if you go down this road, you will soon find out that it's the exact opposite and fortune of fame and what do you call it? Fame and fortune, that's
yeah,
what I meant.
Yeah.
Because they will try and stop you in a very brutal way. And this is also, I didn't answer your question why I left Sweden, but the reason why I left Sweden was because I was getting too deep in, and unfortunately I had two friends murdered or
and
died in
life,
very mysterious.
I'm sure your life was in danger.
I had a visit as well, and it got very scary, so we decided to move quite quickly. And so we moved country, and I've been living in Spain since the year 2000 now because of this.
Okay.
So,
good
but
for you.
My website is lightonconspiracies.com. That is lightonconspiracies, plural.com.
Yeah, that will be in my description box.
That's kind of you. And
and please
like
give
I said,
me your
I'm,
PayPal or whatever. If people, whoever can support you financially, because you're doing such a great work, please also give me your PayPal so I can put that in my description box as well.
That would be amazing. My PayPal account is info@lightonconspiracies.com. info@lightonconspiracies.com.
Okay.
I'm also on Patreon, where I do my own shows, but also what I call Oldest Daylights, where I do 2 to 3 per week, where I like 5, 10, 15 minute sequences where I comment on current things, but also I try to empower people, because that is my whole intention, to instead of just spreading a lot of negative, horrible stuff, I really try to empower everyone so that and help everyone also to retake our power, to regain our personal power.
And take our minds back, because people
that as well
seem to be giving their minds up to these.
Mm.
Anyway, let me not carry on because I'll be really tough one here.
No, but really, it's a matter of understanding that they try to control us. The only way they can control us is through fear. And so by exposing what's actually going on, my hope is that people will start to see that, oh my God, there's really no need to be afraid of this. The way we're being told, there are reasons to be afraid of different things, like the dark forces behind these operations. But first, you have to find out what is the problem. Is the official story correct? Is that true? Because then the problem looks like that. Or if it's inside jobs, then the problem is totally different, and I would suggest much more dangerous to us. And this is what we are up against.
Well, if we ever hear official official stories being truth, that'll be a cold day in hell, I think.
It would be a wonderful day because the day that the mainstream media starts reporting the truth, I mean, I can retire and have a cold beer or whatever, you know, but until that happens, we're on our own. We have to do this ourselves. So if it's okay with you, can I finish with a prayer?
Yes, please.
My whole intention is peace when it comes to this whole thing. And I was actually awarded the Prague Peace Prize a few years ago. And I'm also been adopted by the Apache Nation because they believe in what I'm doing. And so if I spread fear, it's the exact opposite of what I intend to do. So there's this prayer that I really love. I'm not religious, but I am a spiritual being, and it goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who hurt us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May the light of truth overcome all darkness, so victory to that light.
It is fantastic. I'm not going to say anything else. Thank you very, very much for this.
No, thank you.
Be well. Walk in
You
light and
too.
love.
Always,
Thank you.
always. Bye bye.
Bye.
Please send me the link when it's done.
Of course, I will.